You didn't know it, but this will be probably the shortest text that I've had. Two words. That's pretty short. How many of you think you can remember that from next Sunday if I tell you what it is right now? Joyce is telling Riker that he was supposed to write down some things. I probably should say, you all maybe need to write some things down. No, I'm only kidding. You all do a good job, and I appreciate it. Appreciate the good songs. Let me read something to you that I have read before here. Some of you will remember it. Some of you won't. Some of you never heard it before. And this is a description of a crucifixion as written in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. The suffering of death by crucifixion was intense, especially in hot climates. Severe local inflammation, coupled with an insignificant bleeding of the jagged wounds, produced traumatic fever, which was aggravated by the exposure to the heat of the sun, the strained position of the body, and insufferable thirst. The wounds swelled about the rough nails and the torn and lacerated tendons, and nerves caused excruciating agony. The arteries of the head and the stomach were surcharged with blood, and a terrific throbbing headache ensued. The mind was confused and filled with anxiety and dread foreboding. The victim of crucifixion literally died a thousand deaths. Tetanus not rarely supervened, and the rigors of the attending convulsions would tear at the wounds and add to the burden of pain, till at last the bodily forces were exhausted and the victim sank to unconsciousness and death. That's a description of death on the cross. Crucifixion was a common method of putting people to death many, many years ago. We don't do it anymore. We probably are not much more humane than what they were at that time, maybe a little bit. But my text this morning of two words is, I thirst. I thirst. And those are words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke as he hung there on the cross. And as he suffered the excruciating pain of one of the most horrible deaths that a person could die. Death by crucifixion. While he was here on the earth, as he began his ministry, he spoke unto his disciples, and he spoke to many of the people. I do have some notes, but I don't have near as many as I had last week, and so I probably won't take us long. But as he spoke to his disciples, he said this, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Those who thirst after righteousness. And I believe what he meant by that was people who desired and who were sincere and honest about wanting righteousness. But as he hung here between heaven and earth, and he cried out, and if there is anything that he said from the cross that could even be possibly perceived to be a complaint, it would be this: I thirst. I thirst. Because his body was being subjected to the very same thing that the thief on the left and the one on the right was being subjected to. He took upon himself the form of man. And as being in the form of man and being likened to man, it was totally different than his personage as the Son of God. First of all, you might remember that as God, He was able to not only to speak the word that the world came into existence, but He was able to bring about all the waters, all the rivers, all the seas, all the oceans. He was able to do that with just speaking the word. But as He hangs here between heaven and earth, because He has become man, He does not possess those powers, because you and I do not possess those powers today to be able to speak the word into existence. And so He was thirsty. They had offered Him drink before they crucified Him, and He refused that. The drink that they had offered Him was to act as a sedative. I had the word stimulant in my mind and knew that was wrong, but as a sedative, and He refused it. But let me assure you this morning that as He hang here, and He hang there because of you and because of me, and He suffered. For several weeks now, I've been talking about Him and the suffering that He's done. And if there's anything that I would hope that I gave you the assignment to come back next Sunday and have written down what you remember, that the thing that you might remember is that Jesus Christ suffered as He hang there upon the cross for my sin. Mine. And yours. I want to give you a couple examples out of the Word of the Lord of people who were thirsting. There's a lady who came to the Lord as He was sitting beside Jacob's well on one occasion. And you find this over in the book of John in the 4th chapter. And she came to the Lord and He asked her for a drink. And she looked at Him and she said, "Why would you ask me for a drink? Seeing your people have nothing to do with me. We have no relationship. So why would you ask me for a drink?" And I want you to listen to what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water." Now here, Jesus is speaking as Jesus the Christ. And He possesses the power not only to supply what is needed, but to give unto her living water. And the woman saith unto Him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" There are a lot of things that we don't understand about the Word of the Lord. There are a lot of things that many of us have struggled with probably all of our lives. There are things that are hard in the Word of the Lord. But I can assure you this morning that whether we understand them or not, because they are God's Word, they are true. They are true. And they're going to come to pass just as He said. Jesus said, "If you had asked of me, I would have given you living water." She's not the first lady who didn't understand what the Lord was saying. I didn't understand what God was doing when He sent His Son. I didn't understand when Jesus was suffering there on the cross that He was suffering there because of my sin. And my sin was that I did not believe Him. Did not believe in Him. Did not believe Him. And when His Spirit had moved in my heart, I had rejected it. I didn't understand all of that. I was like this woman was. I was like Nicodemus, who came to the Lord by night. And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." And Nicodemus said, "How can a person, when they're old, be born again?" How can they go back and be conceived and be born again? He didn't understand it. He was thinking of it in the natural standpoint. We many times look at things from a very natural standpoint. And yet, whenever that we need to look at some natural things, and when we need to see the realism of Jesus suffering on the cross, we want to fantasize it. We don't want to think it was real. We don't want to think that it was severe. We don't want to think, as he said, I thirst. That he truly was thirsty. He wanted a drink of water, and no one gave him a drink of water. Some of us would probably say, well, if I'd have been there, I'd have given him water. No, you wouldn't have. First of all, you wouldn't have been that close. You might think you would have. But I don't think there's anybody here this morning that's any stronger than some of those disciples. Well, you may be as strong, but I know y'all. And I know me even better, and I'd have been farther back than you would have been. So be careful whenever you think and talk about what you would do. You know, a lot of times we don't even do what he wants us to do right here. Joyce was talking this morning about, does the Lord God speak to little kids and tell them some of the things they need to do? Let me tell you something. He speaks to us big kids. And tells us things we need to do, and we don't pay any attention to it. We deny him what he's asking of us. Finally, someone ran and took and got some vinegar. All he wanted was some water. And they gave him vinegar, and he took it. At that point in time, the thirst was so strong that he was willing to take the vinegar. All he wanted was water. And they didn't give it to him. And so he experienced again the shame, the hurt, the suffering that comes not only from the natural loss of the fluids in his body, but from the loss of those people who were there who should have been able to have helped him. Oh, I know the scripture says that this was a fulfillment again of what had been prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years before. Whenever they'd been prophesied that his tongue would cleave to the roof of his mouth. Yeah, see, there are little things in the Word of God that as he went through all of this that are taught there. I want to give you one more very quickly in finishing, and I'm going to get you right on, just about on time. One of the best examples there is in the Word of the Lord of what suffering is like from thirst is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And you may remember that the Bible says that the rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torment. And he prayed unto Abraham and said, Father Abraham, I pray that you would dip your finger in water and cool my tongue, seeing the torment that I'm in. All he wanted was just a drop of water. Don't you ever for a single minute get the idea in your head that hell is something that's not going to be that bad, because it's worse than anything that we can even imagine. Some of you probably are all for this rewards in heaven, but I'm going to guarantee you this morning by the Word of God that there are punishments in hell. And that people who are there are suffering today and are just like the rich man would desire and would love to have one drop of water. Just take your finger and dip it in water and put it on my tongue, seeing I'm in torment. But he just wanted a drop of water. That's not much. God doesn't ask much of you. He doesn't ask much of me. And we aren't even willing many times to give one drink. Now, I don't want to leave you with the idea that the rich man got any relief, because he did not. There are some things that are taught in the Word of God that it's impossible for God to do. I've heard people say, oh, there's nothing impossible with God. There are some things that are impossible for God. And here's one of the illustrations. Whenever the rich man asked, he said, no, I cannot do it. There is a gulf between you and me that you, I cannot come to you, neither can you come to me. No one's ever going to go to hell and ever get to heaven. Now, I know there's a doctrine out there today that teaches that, and there are some of you that maybe might still want to hope that's the case, but it isn't. When you die, if you die lost, you're going to be lost in hell forever. If you die and you're saved, you're going to be in heaven forever. There's no ifs and ands about it. You aren't going to have any other time. You're going to make that right down here. For us as God's children, the only time that we can do the works and that we can give that drop of water is right here on the earth. There are people who desperately need that today. But once it's over, there is no possibility. He said, I cannot come to you, neither can you come to me. And so when the rich man realized that that was the case, get ready, I'm ready. When the rich man realized that was the case, he said, then I'm going to ask you for one favor. If you can't help me any bit, I have some brothers back there on earth. Send someone back to warn them that they will repent and not come to this place of torment. All I wanted was just a drop of water, but if I can't get it, at least I'd like for somebody else to escape that. I cannot go back this morning and give the Lord Jesus Christ that water as he hang there upon the face of the earth. But what I can do, and what you can do this morning, is that you can provide that drop of water. And Jesus is still available today as the Son of God to give that living water. And he said to that woman, he said, if I'd have given you that living water, you would never have thirsted again. I'll guarantee you this morning, when we think about the natural and we think about the spiritual, there are very distinct differences in them. Yeah. Some of you, you know, I see more and more all the time people carrying a bottle of water all the time. I used to say, my Lord. People every once in a while say to me, as a preacher, they say, if I do a service somewhere or something where I'm not known, they say, do you need some water up there? Do you want some? And most preachers, they do it. Well, you know, you got to have a drink, you know. I said, Lord, no, I don't need no water up there. Now, there have been a couple of times over the years, Ronnie, that I've about choked down on something, but it wasn't because I'd preached the hard. But there are some people, you gotta, that's okay. That's okay. But if you just had to do without it forever, we wouldn't last very long. But you'll do a lot better than if you have to do without the spiritual water. Just fair warning to you. You need that living water.